Hello, Cubs fans, and welcome to this edition of the Northside 9 podcast. It is time to kick back, crack a cold one, and get caught up on some Cubs baseball. Gentlemen, and welcome to episode 18 of the Northside 9 podcast. It has been a hot minute since we've heard from you guys last. Unfortunately, it's been a not-so-eventful offseason. So if you haven't listened to our last episode, which I think you totally should, our last episode we had Dom Frederick on. It was a great time. Was a little bit ago now. Granted, it was about 2 months ago. So happy to be back with you guys, though. I am your host for the night, Ron Luce. I am running solo today. As many of you may know, life happens. And so I am here to bring to you some quality Cubs content. It's a little off the board from what we've normally been doing. If you haven't already, I encourage you to listen to our sister show, is the Cubs on Tap podcast. We've had a couple episodes already this offseason. We've discussed some of the hot topics. Obviously, David Ross being named Cubs manager is certainly a hot topic right now, as are, the extension situations with specifically Bryant Baez right now. Obviously, Anthony Rizzo is also on the horizon. Some trade rumors involving Wilson Contreras, among other players. I feel like Kyle Schwarber's name is in trade rumors pretty much every single offseason, just because he's one of those kind of guys that you can get a good return for that you don't necessarily need. He's great to have, but you don't necessarily need him. And if you disagree, please let me know. I'd be happy to talk about it. But nonetheless, we want to let you know just kind of some workings of Northside 9. So as you guys have noticed, later in the year, we tried to be a more guest-centric show. We wanted to make sure that we were bringing to you still good content, still fun content, banter when it's, more than just myself on an episode. And, bring you guys still that entertaining side of things while allowing Cubs on Tap to be the more informative, recapping news kind of podcast here at the On Tap Sports Network. So, we had Dom Frederick on, we had Barstool Carl on. Our Northside 9 numbers have been doing really well, so we really greatly appreciate you guys listening to us. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode just as much and all the great things that are going to be going on. But we have a great guest, actually, tonight for you. I have actually already had the pleasure of speaking with him. Because of time arrangements, it had to be just jump right into the episode and not really do this intro necessarily blindly. But just to set it up, I do want to let you guys know we are talking to Cole Roeder. And please excuse me, Cole, if you're listening to this, for getting your name wrong the first time. I totally should have asked you before we jumped on the call, and I didn't, and that's on me. Now, Cole was absolutely fantastic. You guys are going to love this interview. I'm blown away. I'm instantly a Cole Roeder fan. I hope nothing but good things happen. I hope he's the Cubs center fielder here in a few years, just because he's an awesome human and certainly is a great baseball player as well. So you guys are going to enjoy that interview. Before we get into that interview, I just want to, take care of a few housekeeping items and, again, kind of let you guys know what's going on. As I mentioned, Northside 9, we're going to try and be a guest-centric show in 2020. So episodes will probably be not every week, probably every other week. Realistically, obviously, being able to line up guests is not always the easiest thing in the world, unfortunately, but we're going to do our best to make that happen for you guys, our great listeners. And then please do check out Cubs on Tap. That is going to be, it's a daily recap show during the season. We'll recap the game, talk about what happened. It's at least two of us. Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's one. I ran a lot of solo shows last year. Hopefully a little fewer of those this year as we continue to bulk up our Cubs staff at On Tap Sportsnet. But please, I think for all you true Cubs fans out there that listen to Northside 9, you're going to truly enjoy Cubs on Tap and allow yourself to kind of supplement the shows together. Cubs on Tap is perfect for a commute. If you didn't get to catch the game the night before, we'll talk about it just in enough nick of time as you get to work in the morning. It's usually about a 30 to 40 minute podcast, sometimes a little shorter in, the 25 minute range, sometimes a little longer in the 45 minute range when we banter, or if it's a busy game or if there's a lot going on. So please do check that out. We also want to remind you just to check out everything else that we got going on at OnTap Sports Network. We're very, very busy. You can find us on the interwebs at www.ontapsportsnet.com. You can also find us on all social media platforms at OnTap Sportsnet. That is Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Twitter and Instagram, probably our biggest presences, although we've been doing pretty well on Facebook as well. We have great coverage, we really do, of everybody. Obviously, Cubs coverage, you're listening to some of that right now. Great Blackhawks coverage. The Blackhawks are in full swing, performing really well now, admittedly, and I get the enjoyability of doing some Blackhawks coverage for OnTap Sportsnet. We got Bulls coverage. Buzz and Bull Scripted and Andrew Kinsler and a few of the other guys over there are doing an excellent job, writing plenty of articles, keeping you informed with our podcast, Bulls on Tap. We also have Blackhawks on Tap and Four Feathers podcast, which some of you may be familiar. Similar setup to this, Four Feathers, more guest-centric kind of fun episodes, whereas the Blackhawks on Tap is certainly more informative in game recaps. So, but Bulls on Tap, structured in a very similar way. That one will be more of a swing show. Sometimes it'll be guests, sometimes it'll be just straight-up informative. We have Bears on Tap, same structure there. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know we're a Cubs podcast. Yes, well, we do have some of the greatest White Sox coverage as well in the Chicagoland area. So let's be honest, Cubs fans, we all have a friend that roots for the White Sox. Most of my friends root for the White Sox, quite frankly. And I always direct them over to OnTap Sportsnet and all our great coverage here. Guys like Tony, Johnny Nani, Buzz, so many guys do such a great job with that coverage as well. And hopefully, you know, with the hot stove becoming hotter as the year rolls on, as we get deeper into the year 2019 and closer to the year 2020, we're going to be able to bring you guys some more news on the baseball front for both of the Chicago teams at OnTap Sportsnet. So we appreciate you guys checking us out. Check out articles. We got a lot of great stuff. We're diving a little more now into pop culture stuff too, and it's not necessarily true pop culture. You know, we're not necessarily writing about what happened on The Bachelorette or anything like that. But, for example, Patrick Kaminsky just wrote a great worst pizza article. I'm going to say crappiest. I'm going to try and keep this episode clean. But crappiest pizza top five. It was actually a really good read. So highly recommend you reading that if you have ever eaten quote-unquote crappy pizza. Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, you name it. Those are all involved there. So it's a great list, and it's certainly a great read. And we have a ton of other great stuff all over the place here at OnTap Sportsnet. Also want to let you guys know, we had a live event for OnTap Sports Network out at Murray Brothers Caddy Shack. It is in Rosemont, Illinois, for those of you that don't know. If you guys are familiar with Rosemont, you know where the big outlet mall is out there on Balmoral Avenue. It is right across the street. Great place to watch some sports, get some great food, obviously get some great drinks. Their Bloody Marys are outstanding. Their vodka is very good. For those of you that are of age, for those of you that are not, I do encourage you to eat their food. Their food was actually really outstanding, and this was the first time I had ever been there. They've been absolutely nothing but spectacular. So a big shout out and thank you to Murray Brothers Caddy Shack for hosting us. And rumblings are, I'm not going to confirm nor deny, but it sounds like we're going to be back there again. Hopefully. So do keep on the lookout for that. And hopefully next time we have you guys out and you guys can, partake in the day's festivities, get to meet some of us. We'd love to meet you guys. We love meeting the fans, the people that actually listen to our podcast, actually read our articles. It really makes everything kind of rewarding, truthfully, knowing the getting to know the people that are, absorbing our content, hopefully enjoying our content, and you guys that continue to come back to us for content. Obviously we couldn't do this without you guys. So we'd love to meet you guys. So please do be on the lookout for that kind of stuff. Follow us on all social media platforms. Keep an eye out, listening to the podcasts, because we'll definitely make sure to promote that type of stuff on all of our different podcasts and articles. So we look forward to you guys hopefully joining us next time. All right. Now that I got all the housekeeping out of the way, I'm very grateful for you bearing with me here through these first 9 minutes or so of the podcast. We are going to get into it. So Cole Roeder, for those of you that don't know, he is the number six prospect currently in the Cubs minor league system. He's done an excellent job. He had a really good year in A-ball, which is South Bend, the South Bend Cubs. For those that are Chicagoland area people, that South Bend is not too far from here. So You can definitely check Cole out if he starts in A-ball next year with the South Bend Cubs. There's a very, very good possibility, admittedly, that he is going to be starting with the Myrtle Beach, the Daytona Beach Pelicans. Or is it Myrtle Beach? No, it is Myrtle Beach. I'm losing my mind, ladies and gentlemen. I am just all over the place lately. The Myrtle Beach Pelicans. There's a very good chance he's going to be down there with them to start the season. Who knows? You know, maybe he's as high up as double A ball with the Tennessee Smokies. Who knows? So do keep an eye out on that. But, just a little more background. This is more from a baseball side. I'll let him tell you about himself when we get to the interview. But he was a second round draft pick, a compensation pick in the 2018 draft. He was born in 1999. Wow, that makes me feel old. He stands at 6 foot, 175 pounds currently. He's 20 years old. He was most recently with the South Bend Cubs. He is an outfielder. He's a center fielder primarily. There are thoughts in the baseball scouting world that he might become a corner outfielder, but I'll let him talk about that. We do talk about that in the interview. According to MLB.com, draws comparisons to Andrew Benintendi. If that has anything to do with what kind of player he's going to be in the major leagues, that makes me very excited. He had an injury to his non-throwing shoulder, but he also had a strong commitment to UCLA. He's from California, so that does not surprise me at all that he would want to stay out in California. So that clouded the status a little bit and made him drop, but the Cubs signed him over slot money to make sure that he would choose to become a pro rather than go honor his commitments to UCLA. He did add noticeable strength in 2018 and could become a 300 type hitter with 25 home run power if everything comes together, according to MLB.com. Again, I don't care what a guy's size is, what a guy's physique is. If he's a ball player, he's a ball player, and I think you'll appreciate that in the interview with Cole. I think he can become a very good, if not great, outfielder in the big leagues. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, after listening to this interview, you're going to be rooting for him. I'm rooting for him after talking to him. Legitimately one of the nicest, coolest, he's a pro, pros that I've ever really had the pleasure of speaking with. So you guys will truly enjoy this one. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to finish my bantering. I, again, appreciate you guys, sticking with us through the housekeeping items. And right now, I would like to introduce you to Cole Roeder. Again, excuse me for mispronouncing his name in the start of the interview, but please enjoy, and we'll be right back. Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me tonight, he is the number 6 current prospect in the Cubs organization. He is an outfielder, a center fielder by trade, and a guy that I can tell you right now, the Northside 9 crew is very excited to get to know more. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to Cole Roeder. Cole, how are you, man?
Hi. Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Just living the dream, getting home from work, making sure we can jump on with you tonight and dive into the fun stuff of getting to know you a little more. And, especially for fans that, maybe aren't terribly familiar, I feel it's pretty normal, for you guys to kind of, people don't really get to know you a lot until, you make it to the majors. And so we're going to jump ahead a little bit and make sure people know who you are as you continue to skyrocket up the Cubs system.
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Well, a nice, easy one for starters, for sure. It's really just kind of who is Cole Roeder? What do you think fans should know about you? Off the field, what are some hobbies? Things you like to do, stuff like that.
I think they should know about me. I'm a really big family guy. If you ever see, come to our games, I always have family in the stands. They love watching me play, and I love just, hanging out with them, especially in the off season. I'm a big family guy. I live with a lot of animals. So I love animals, and I love just hanging out with them. Other than that, I love video games. I play video games probably a good portion of the day. Definitely parents get a little annoyed with it. My friends get a little annoyed with it when they want to hang out. I'm like, I don't know what Call of Duty's are now. I kind of want to play that. So, video games have always been a big part of my life, kind of helped me escape reality a little bit. So I'm definitely always playing on my computer, playing video games.
I love that. What is your favorite video game? Do you have one that has a special place in your heart?
I love Call of Duty. I've been playing Call of Duty, honestly, as long as I remember playing video games. I used to sit in my room, like, 7th and 8th grade and play. Literally, got home from baseball practice till my mom would tell me it's bedtime and I had to get off. But I would literally, if I could, you know, I'd close the door, you know, turn off the lights, try to play something that sounded like TV and see if I could squeeze in an extra hour before she yelled at me to go to bed.
I love that. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Call of Duty is a great game. I'll tell you what, I enjoy playing it the most. You speak of family. My older brother is a soldier, and I'll tell you what, you haven't played Call of Duty till you play it with a you know, an army sergeant. it's quite different. Let me put it that way, for sure. But no, that's awesome. That's great to hear. I'm definitely hoping to get one out to one of your games next year. Whether you start the year in, you know, A-plus ball, A ball, double A ball. So hopefully you get to see some of your family rooting you on there. That'll be pretty cool. Kind of sticking along those same lines. You know, who was your biggest influence getting into baseball? Was it a family member, or you know, maybe a friend or anything like that?
It was. It started off as my grandmother. My parents worked a lot, so I was always at her house, and she actually was the first person to, you know, play catch with me, you know, throw me a little front toss back when, you know, she could, you know, move around a little bit better and I didn't hit the ball so dang hard. But yeah, she definitely put a baseball in my hands and definitely, you know, kind of brought out that, you know, that sports side, that mentality and all that stuff. So I have to give big credit to her. And then as I grew older, you know, my dad made, you know, had to make some sacrifices, but he kind of kept pushing me, you know, did whatever he can to, you know, help ends meet so I could play baseball whenever I wanted. He would throw to me. We'd go throw. He'd, you know, everything I needed for baseball, he was always my biggest fan.
That's awesome. That's super cool. Yeah, I, again, can actually really relate to you. I also grew up in a very similar manner. My grandparents were very heavily involved in my life early on as well. Did you have a favorite team, you know, that your grandmother and you would watch, or was it all just, you know, playing out in the backyard?
It was more of a backyard. Actually, a weird thing. My mom used to call me the weirdest baseball player ever. I literally didn't start watching baseball, like, you know, truly invested until I was actually like a sophomore, junior in high school. Oh, I literally never watched sports at all. Like, I literally, like, to this day, like, I'll watch baseball whenever it's on. I'll watch, you know, my roommate is a big Saints fan. He's from Louisiana, so anytime the Saints are on, we'll play, we'll watch that. But I truly didn't watch baseball until I kind of got older and I kind of understood it a little bit more and could actually, like, sit through it. You know, I always thought it was super boring, and as I kind of grew up, I was like, oh, like, okay, he's doing this because of this, and there was more of a reason why he's doing it, and I kind of actually, you know, was truly more invested as I grew older.
Yeah, that's crazy. So how did, I guess, you know, kind of building off that, how did you stay invested with baseball when you were younger playing? Did you just love playing it so much, but were like, yeah, I don't need to watch it? Or was it just like I'm doing this because it's something I want to do, or maybe could want to do, you know, kind of what kept your drive going, I guess, since you weren't really invested in sports from a watching perspective?
I loved playing it. I played soccer and baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football too. But I was, you know, mostly soccer and baseball, and I hated watching it. You know, my older brother played baseball for a little bit, but he, you know, pursued a career in soccer. But, you know, I hated watching it. It was terrible watching it. As a kid that, you know, that can't sit still, I wanted to go, you know, play, you know, throw a tennis ball off the wall, you know, play, like, seeing my friends, you know, all that stuff. But I loved playing it. It was just one of those things where when I was playing it, I couldn't get enough, but when I wasn't playing it, I didn't want any part of it.
That's incredible. I think I kind of went through something similar myself. I ultimately ended up playing college football. That was, you know, kind of my end of my career when it came to sports. But I kind of started off that way. Like, I loved playing pickup football on the playground with, like, my friends and stuff like that when I was younger. But really didn't get into watching it until maybe a year or two later after that. So, you know, that's definitely unique. I will say that for sure. I don't think you find too many baseball guys that don't watch the game, but, you know, hey, kudos to you, man. You loved playing it, and I mean, ultimately, that's obviously all that matters. So,
yeah.
You know, so since, I guess this is going to be actually kind of an interesting question, I'm really interested to hear what you have to say, because since you didn't really watch baseball growing up, you know, did you have an MLB player that you kind of idolized growing up, or is it some of these kind of quote unquote new school guys that you finally started watching more recently that you've kind of, I guess, quote unquote, looked up to?
I was a really big fan of Josh Hamilton. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I always wanted a jersey. I always wanted to be like him. Him and Vladimir Guerrero were like my biggest heroes. You know, I'd go take BP with my dad, and like how Vladimir Guerrero would step in and kind of point his bat and fix his jersey a little bit, tuck it back a little bit. I used to do the same thing, and my dad would laugh at me every time I do it. And he, you know, he always said like, "Oh, you like up there, you kind of look like Josh Hamilton. You kind of got that swing." And when Josh Hamilton's book actually came out when I was growing up, you know, I could not sit and read a book to save my life. I was just, you know, I was a really hyper kid. I just like moving around. I felt like if I was sitting still, I was wasting time. I'd rather be doing something. So my dad, actually, when we used to go on like trips and stuff, when my mom would come, he would literally, me and him would just like, he would just read over the book with me, and we'd read the book, and he, you know, I wouldn't understand, you know, parts of it because I was very young. So he would try to explain it to me as, you know, as much as you want a younger kid to understand, you know what I mean? But I think that definitely helped me kind of, you know, look up to Josh Hamilton. And still to this day, like, I still kind of base parts of my swing off of his. I like the way, you know, he does some things. And, you know, when I get into the cage and, you know, working in the lab like that, I do base some of my stuff off his swing.
That's awesome. That is super cool. I kind of had that. I feel like every little kid at some point has tried to impersonate Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing.
100%.
So I could totally relate to that, you know, the sweet swing and everything like that. So I take it then you grew up an Angels fan?
I did grow up an Angels fan. I grew up a big Angels fan. But that, you know, that wasn't always because of Josh Hamilton. I kind of transferred over to being a Dodgers fan as I grew up. But as a kid, my cousins loved the Angels. Like, they, everything they had, they wore Angels hats, Angels jerseys, anything they could get, it was Angels, they were wearing it. So I always, you know, bled red as I was coming up, you know, growing up. And as, you know, as I, like I said, like, as I kind of understood baseball more, I, you know, I took, you know, a lot of liking to the Dodgers and the, you know, the guys they had on their team, like Andreas here. I remember like one of the standout moments for me when I kind of liked the Dodgers when Andre Ether hit a home run and he fell down to a knee and just watched it. And I was like, that is so cool. Like, I wonder if I'll ever be able to do that, you know, hit a ball that hard where I can just go down to a knee and kind of just watch it. So I think that was kind of a turning point from like an Angels fan to like a Dodgers fan.
Okay. No, that's awesome. I mean, I feel like, you know, the Vlad connection too. I mean, that's another guy kind of in that same lore as like a Ken Griffey Jr., right? Who, you know, it didn't matter who you rooted for. It was really hard not to like the guy.
He was just so good. You know, the things he did were like, he's got an absolute rocket. You know, he hit just absolute, these balls that were just exploded off his bat and everything just looked so clean and so amazing. Like, how can you not, like, even if he's on the rival team, you have to like him just because he's so amazingly good.
Yeah, and I think to this day he's the only player I've ever watched golf swing a baseball out of a stadium. So
yeah, and like when he actually hit one off, like as it bounced, he hit it over the shortstop. You know, that's, you don't see that nowadays. You great, like Javier Baez did it, and honestly, I couldn't tell you one person that did it in between them.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it takes a unique skill set to be able to watch a ball bounce in the dirt and still be able to get, you know, decent wood on it to get it out of the infield. So, no, definitely well said. Well, I mean, that's just, you know, that's kind of a good start. I think people got to really get to know you a little bit. I mean, obviously, you're from California, so the Angels and Dodgers connections are certainly logical, I guess, even though, to be completely honest, it usually doesn't matter nowadays where you are. And who you love.
Yeah, but, I agree.
You know, but I think the you know, kind of some of the more professional questions now, just kind of, you know, about your career now that you're getting into pro ball. So I guess to start, you know, what was the hardest part about transitioning from high school baseball to pro baseball? Because you made the jump pretty much immediately.
I think it was honestly just finding a routine. I remember going into pro ball, and I, you know, we had a bunch of guys in pro ball that came from my high school that were in the big league. So they would come back, and I was a junior and sophomore in high school. I didn't really know anybody. I just kind of wanted to talk to a big leaguer and see what they said. So I remember Michael Montgomery came and threw to us, and, you know, we were talking, and his dad was actually my high school coach. And he was like, I was like, Mike, like, how do you do it? You play 162 games. Like, how does your body not fall apart? And he's like, dude, you just got to have a routine, 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 routine. He always just, every time I ask him, routine. So I think, you know, as I got into pro ball, the routine thing became more prominent with everyone I asked. It was just, you have to have a routine. If you don't have a routine, your body's going to break and you're just going to hate baseball. But if you have a routine, you know, you're going to survive. Your body's going to hurt. But I think going into my rookie ball, I had what I thought was a good routine. It was an awful routine. I've never recommended it. But, you know, I like got a routine that actually like worked for me a little bit, and I, you know, I wasn't in pain as much. And over this past season, I think that's what helped me stay in all those games and stay healthy for most of the year.
Yeah, 100%. I know that for sure. And it's funny because athletes become such creatures of habit, right? I mean, I still think back to, you know, college ball, not terribly long ago, thankfully, but, you know, just remembering like, okay, you know, left sock before right sock, left cleat before right cleat, like even little things like that, just again, part of that routine, and you become such a creature of habit, I feel like, as an athlete. But no, that makes total sense.
I'm terrible when it comes to habit. My mom, we'll go get food, and she'll look at me, what do you get? And then like, she'll stop in the middle of it and be like, I don't even need to ask you. And like, cause I literally, everything I do is like the same thing. I'm terrible when it comes to habit. Everything I do is just, I'm just a creature of habit with everything I do.
That's so funny. I know that feeling. I really do. That's incredible. So speaking of creating then a routine, you know, obviously from high school, because you go to class all day and then you go to practice, you know, what was, I guess, the biggest struggle? Was it, you know, getting into the gym, or was it, you know, just, I guess, what was kind of the hardest part ultimately to kind of round out your routine?
It was kind of, you know, it all depended on, you know, I had so much free time. You know, when I got there, you know, I'd get there early because I just like being early to everything, and then I'd be sitting for an hour. So after my, you know, rookie ball, I would just sit there, play on my phone, listen to music, and kind of just lay down and relax. But then as like the next year came, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I have an hour, you know, why don't I go stretch? Why don't I go roll out? Why don't I go, you know, hit a little bit off the tee, just to, you know, get my body loose and, you know, help my, you know, my durability for the year. And I honestly think like using that free time to my advantage really helped in pro ball. Because like, you were always doing something, but in the times we're not doing something, like we're just kind of sitting there, I feel like you should be doing something. If you roll out an extra 5 minutes a day, that's only going to benefit you, which I didn't understand my rookie ball year, you know, because I was a little lazy. I just kind of like, you know, I was in high school, you just relaxed, you know, when you had off time, you just didn't want to do anything because your brain was fried from school, and you just want to like just relax and, you know, just get away from everything. But in pro ball, it's not like that. You really have to take advantage of any extra time you have.
Yeah, 100%. And hey, I mean, that philosophy ultimately is what separates the good players from the great players, right? It's, you know, that constant work ethic to say, okay, I'm wasting time right now. Sure, it feels nice to relax, but, you know, like you said, I could roll out, I could stretch, I could, you know, get in the cold tub, I could do something that's going to benefit me, even if it's something as small as just taking care of your body.
Exactly. And if you, even though you hate it, you know, going in the cold tub, I hate, because my toes get cold, you know, and my toes start hurting as soon as I get in. So I always try to, like, you know, position myself where my toes are just peeking out of the cold water so they don't hurt as bad. But it's like, okay, even though you hate it, it's going to help. So you just got, even though you hate doing something, you got to do it because it's going to help you in the long run.
Right. Just all part of that grind. They don't have the little toesy things for you guys?
See, they do, but that kind of grosses me out a little bit. You know, I don't know how many people are putting their feet in there. Like, I'm like, oh man, like, oh, what do these kids, you know, have like gross feet? I don't want my feet in the same thing, you know?
No, that's,
so I just, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'll just roll with it. I'm just gonna keep my toes out.
I respect that. I did that it's funny that you mentioned that, because I did that my freshman year. The first time I ever used a cold tub, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to put these footy things on. And I kind of like picked it up and looked at it. I was like, this thing looks disgusting. I was like, I don't know how many people use this thing. So to your point, I was like, well, it's going to suck, but I'm just going to do it.
Exactly. Like, you don't know the last time they cleaned those things. You don't know if the guy before you had, you know, something wrong with his feet. You just don't know. And it just kind of grosses me out.
No, that's honestly completely fair when you really sit back and kind of think about it. So, no, that's good stuff. You know, so kind of transitioning along those lines, I mean, you're not too terribly far out of high school now. Obviously, you're, you know, 20 years old. What was your favorite baseball memory growing up? And kind of a second part to that, did you have like a nickname growing up? I feel like every athlete has a nickname in some capacity as they're going through, you know, high school and potentially like college or, you know, rookie ball.
My favorite point in baseball, when I was 10, I played on, like, our team was just absolutely disgusting. Like, most of these guys are playing D1 football or baseball. Like, this team was just, it was just unfair. Every time we stepped on the field, it was just unfair to the team. So we actually won the Pony World Series in Texas when I was 10 years old. We went all the way through, like, it was a whole summer, 7 days a week. It's an absolute grind for a 10-year-old kid, but we actually won it all in Texas. And I think that was a big point of my life because we had media, you know, we had people watching. You can still watch it to this day. And I was actually a pitcher back then. I was pretty gross, if you ask me. You know, I was crappy. But I think that was kind of like the big point of my life where I was like, oh, wow, like this baseball thing really could have a future. Like, I'm not too bad at this, you know?
Yeah.
And then I actually didn't have a nickname until my freshman year in high school, actually. Michael Montgomery's dad actually gave me it. I don't even know why he called me. I don't even know. Like, I asked my buddy who played on, I was actually hanging out with him. I was like, hey, do you know why, you know, Coach Montgomery called me Roadkill? Still to this day, I don't know why. But yeah, every time he sees me, he always calls me Roadkill. All the coaches at my local high school call me Roadkill. No one really knows why, but you know, we don't really ask questions. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing.
That's too funny. That is incredible. Yeah, you know, sometimes just people hear your last name and it sounds like something, and the first thing that comes to mind, and they just roll with it. That's too funny.
Exactly. And I've had a lot of weird sayings in my name, but I've never heard Roadkill, and that's the one that stuck.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I guess a good question is, you know, for the people out there that are uncertain, how do you pronounce your last name? Just a clarification.
Actually, Roeder. Yeah, Roeder. It's okay. Kind of like the last ER is silent and just act like it's not even there.
Okay. Well, that is good to know. Admittedly, I probably should have asked you that before we started this, but that's okay.
no worries.
You're a champ, so I appreciate you. It's okay. In fairness, people fumble over my last name all the time. I'm sure yours is probably much worse, admittedly, but when your last name is Luce and it's pronounced Luce, and you get Luce and Lucy, and it can get pretty interesting. So you said
I completely know where you're coming from.
it's not fun. So you mentioned you were a pitcher. So what was your favorite pitch to throw when you were still a pitcher?
I learned a cutter. You know, it was a big thing. I learned a cutter when I was growing up, and then I learned how to, that was part of my, actually, no, let me take that back. I learned like a weird sinker changeup thing that one of my coaches taught me. It was kind of like, I held it kind of like the baseball, like Pac-Man, like right across. And it was like the coolest pitch. It made no sense for like me to be throwing it, 'cause I had no idea where it was going. I could have thrown it over the backstop. I could have spiked it, you know, 2 feet in front of me. But when I threw it correctly, it moved a lot. And I had like, it was like the craziest thing ever for a kid that was 10 years old to be throwing something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I wish I knew what it was like to be able to throw pitches. I have absolutely no arm, so kudos to you for that. No, that's super cool. And I mean,
trust me, I'm right there with you. I don't have that big of an arm. I don't have that good of an arm either. I understand.
I don't know about that, man. I think the scouting reports would beg otherwise. Everybody keeps
let's hope.
Keep saying that you should be a corner outfielder because of your cannon. So, which we'll get to that in a little bit. That's the more serious stuff. We'll keep going with some of the lighter fun stuff. So obviously, you know, this was your first year, in South Bend. You guys had an incredible season, and kind of piggybacking on that, you know, what was it like winning the Midwest League Championship? You know, unfortunately, because it is A ball, which is a true shame because, I mean, it's still baseball and it's still an incredible accomplishment. There wasn't as much media recognition, at least around Chicago, as I think there probably should have been, especially given that, you know, obviously South Bend is an affiliate of the Cubs. But, you know, we'd have to imagine that's still something very, very special. So, you know, just what was that feeling like? I mean, you mentioned, you know, when you were 10, winning the Pony World Series, you know, did that was that right up there? Is it higher? Is it lower? You know, just kind of what was that whole experience like?
I can honestly say winning the Midwest League Championship blew any kind of achievement I've ever had out of the water. You know, we went into playoffs and we're everyone's tired, you know, and we got like, you know, kind of at that point where you're mentally, you're just breaking down, mm-hmm. but every game we'd come out there and we were literally levitating above the field. Like, we were just unbelievable. We were playing out of ourselves. Every pitcher that came in just dominating, dominating, dominating. And I remember I caught the last out, and I don't think I've ever been so scared to drop a ball in my career. And then when I caught it, I literally screamed. I was so happy. I don't think I've ever had so much adrenaline and had so many nerves as much as I did in that game.
That's crazy. I was gonna say, I can only imagine the level of nerves. I mean, just to your point, that ball's coming at you and you're just like, oh God, please don't drop this. Please don't drop this. Anything but dropping this ball right now. I could trip running to the mound. I don't even care, That's awesome. That is, I mean, that is, to your point, that is just an incredible accomplishment. Because I feel like, again, relating to some personal experience of mine, I remember my first year of high school football. So I was a freshman in high school. We were really good. We went 7-2, but there were no like freshman playoffs. So we were done after, the last week of the season, and our varsity team made playoffs. And they like gave the freshmen the opportunity, like, if you want to, this is totally if you want to, you can practice with varsity. And I remember thinking, like, I'm just mentally exhausted. Like, I don't want to do that right now. And in hindsight, I'm like, well, I probably should have done it, but but to your point, you guys are exhausted going into playoffs and you're just like, damn, we got to go, potentially another 20 games or, 15 games or however many games it is after playing, as many as you guys already did. So it's truly, I feel like anytime you go through that type of adversity, it really, I mean, obviously with anything, but especially in sports, just that mental, fighting through that mental wear and tear. And that's obviously why guys celebrate them as hard as they do, because it's so hard to get to that point.
Completely agree. Luckily, we were absolutely shoving in the playoffs, and we ended up going undefeated. But I remember, like, the third game in, I was putting on cleats to go out to practice, and everything hurt. My fingertips were hurting. I was like, how does that even hurt? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't even, I was just like, everything hurt. And I was looking around at, like, the other guys, and everyone's, like groaning a little bit because, something new hurts today that, they didn't have yesterday. It's tough. You play that many games, and you really have to, like, go beyond yourself because everything hurts, and you've got to find some way to have it not hurt, whether it's, taking an extra long, like, in the ice bath or, just having someone, like, massaging your forehead or whatever, like, your weird little, things are, just to give you that confidence, okay, we're gonna go out there, we're gonna win, one step closer to winning this thing and going home.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. Yeah, I can almost like mentally picture the walking through, the locker room or the clubhouse, and you're just looking at guys and you just hear them. It's I call it dad noises, where they get up and just,
Oh yeah.
or
Oh
when they
yeah. You
sit
feel like
down.
you're at least 8 years old. You
Yeah.
literally, every time you get up, you feel like you just gained 50 years every time you get up.
Yep. That's too funny. That's awesome though. And obviously congratulations to you guys for winning that. That's an incredible accomplishment.
Thank you.
No matter what level you're playing at, winning a championship is no easy feat. So sticking with South Bend, what was it like playing in a city as cold as South Bend? One of my co-hosts, unfortunately, who couldn't be on tonight, Brian Mishler, is actually grew up in South Bend. And he was the one that came up with this question. Because it would have to imagine it's completely different playing from playing, Arizona where you played in your rookie ball, and then obviously California where you grew up. So how was that kind of adjustment period for you, or was there any adjustment period? Was it, pretty simple? Was it a real struggle kind of battling the cold for you, especially not being used to that growing up, or was it just, hey, this is whatever, business as usual?
It was a huge leap. Like, I felt like I was in space. I felt way out of my league when, you're going out there and it's 25 degrees with some wind, you know what I mean? I honestly think layers. Like, I was wearing, tights, and then, like, I was wearing my sliders, and then I was wearing pants, and I was still cold, and I was wearing two pairs of socks and, like, two pairs of shirt or two shirts on. I was freezing. I had one game where I, like, jam shot a ball, and I went to first, and I couldn't feel my fingers until I, like, actually went in the dugout, and I was like, this is terrible. Like, this is horrible. But layers. That's all I can say is layers. I wore so many layers. I remember one of my teammates, looking at him, he's got, like, two pairs of tights, two pairs of sliders, two, like, three shirts. He's got, like, gloves on under his glove. It was just, I had never been in that kind of cold. So doing that from, like, 120 heat in Arizona to about 20 degrees in South Bend, huge, huge jump. I had to learn quick or I was gonna fall apart.
Yeah, and you just highlighted it right there. I mean, that's a 100-degree swing, in just a season for you ultimately. So, no,
Absolutely.
layers are definitely good. Those little hand warmer things are pretty nice. If you can get your hands on a couple of those, highly recommend those.
Oh
as
yeah,
well.
I had one in my back pocket. I had one on the top part of like on my hand in my glove.
Mm-hmm.
Every second, my hand was like in my back pocket, just had it on there. I had one literally like next to my gloves and my bat, so like my bat wouldn't get too cold when I grabbed it. They were everywhere. Let me tell you, they were. And we even had the toe warmers. I played with those a few games.
Yeah,
they are game changers. Let me tell you. You have no idea how nice it is to have warm toes when you're cold out until your toes are literally so cold you can't feel them.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. As a kid growing up in Chicago and, you know, playing a couple of playoff games growing up and in college and stuff, I totally feel you. Those toe warmers, as soon as they introduced those, probably a little over 10 years ago, I would think now, definitely game changers. So it's good that you took full advantage of those for your first season.
Absolutely.
It's cold weather.
Yeah, so. our trainer was running out of him left and right. He literally, every game was cold, he'd come out there with a box, and I kid you not, within 2 minutes he'd be like, well, I'm out. If you don't have one, you gotta share, because we're already gone.
Yeah, those boxes ain't cheap either. I mean, you those boxes are like, you know, 30-40 bucks at a pop, but I completely get it, man. You got to do what you got to do to stay warm. So hey, at least they had them though, right? It could always be worse.
That was definitely needed.
No, that's awesome. You know, so it just kind of, again, along that line that we talked about a little bit earlier, you know, your transition out of high school, and you mentioned the routine. So from a physical development standpoint, I think, you know, what kind of emphasis did, you know, the trainers and the staff that you worked with throughout rookie ball and then into, you know, South Bend and A ball, you know, what kind of things did they really hammer home on? Was it a lot of lifting weights? You know, was it a lot of more that, you know, the kind of just body weight workouts, quote unquote? And kind of developing off of that question as well, you know, especially after being dressed, you know, drafted out of high school, where I feel like the physical side isn't always as prominent just because of the, again, like you mentioned, you know, the time, you don't have the time of day to dedicate to it necessarily. Do you think that was a disadvantage for you, or, you know, for you, was it just, again, once you figured out how to be a pro, it was no big deal? It didn't matter that you didn't, you know, that you coming out of high school right away was, you know, the worst thing possible.
I definitely don't think it was the worst thing possible. My only problem was when I came into pro ball, I could honestly say I don't think I ever lifted my lower body once in my life. I probably lifted when I was in high school. I really didn't ever go to the gym. You know, I didn't have like a gym membership. I lifted at school very rarely, you know, whenever we could fit in with the other team. So when I came to pro ball, like they were like, hey, we're going to squat this, we're going to deadlift this. And I literally looked at him, I was like, hey, like I've never squatted in my life. I've never deadlifted. I was like, I don't even know what half the stuff is, because I'd never really lifted until I got to pro ball. And they, like, I don't think I've ever seen the most like astonished look in my life when I told my strength coach, hey, I've never squatted, I've never deadlifted, can you help me? They were just like, yeah, sure. They thought I was kidding. I was like, no, I promise, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I think that, along with like my flexibility, they wanted me to get bigger because, like I said, I'd never lifted before. So they're like, okay, you know, the sky's the limit for this kid, because he, you know, he can do the things he can do right now. What can he do when he learns how to lift and be flexible? You know, what can he truly do? So this past off season and the off season before, I learned how to lift. I couldn't lift heavy because I didn't know how to lift correctly yet. And then this past off season, when I went to camp in Arizona, we actually put on some serious some man weight, I could even say. And I was throwing it around a little bit, and I was actually very impressed with myself that, you know, a year ago I had no idea what I was doing, and this year I'm able to do these things and hang, you know, with the guys that are around me. Like last year when I was in camp, I always, you know, they would always have to take weights off, or I'd have to like be in a group with like, you know, the kids that didn't, you know, weren't very like as strong. And I was like, I hate this. I hate, you know, having the rest of my group have to wait because I don't know what I'm doing and I can't lift as much. I was actually a little bit embarrassed. So, you know, once I learned how to do everything, I think this past camp off season, I think I was actually very, very proud of myself for what I was able to do. Because, you know, how far I came.
That's awesome. No, I mean, that it is a whole nother world when you get into lifting. I remember I was the same way from, you know, going into high school. I remember, you know, we did, oh, I don't even remember necessarily what it was. I think it was like deadlift or hang clean or something. And I was just like, how do we do this? And they were like, you've never picked up a weight. And I'm like, no, like, you know, it happens. So, but no, that's awesome to hear. I mean, you know, it's such a good feeling when you, like you said, you kind of are able to start throwing around the big boy weight a little more. And, you know, and obviously kudos to you too. You know, you're not afraid to be like, yeah, I'm lifting light, 'cause I'm still learning how to lift. So you don't hurt yourself. I feel like that's a big misconception with a lot of people who really don't truly understand lifting, is they're just like, yeah, I'm just gonna go throw weight around. And it's like, oh yeah, well, that's how you're gonna throw your back out. So good luck.
Exactly.
With that.
And I think definitely, you know, my teammates helped me a lot, because I like I said, I was embarrassed. I was like, man, like, you know, these guys are doing two plates and I'm doing, you know, one, and like those stuff like that. And I had one of my teammates actually who like loves lifting. This dude can absolutely move weight. Like, he was like, he pulled me aside and was like, hey, like, I'm going to send you a bunch of videos tonight of, like, a guy that I actually helped me, or he actually helped me learn how to, you know, deadlift and squat. He's like, I'm going to send you all of them tonight, watch them, and then text me as soon as you watch them, and I'll FaceTime you, and we can help each other. Honestly, I think that was one of, like, the most big breakout points for me. I was like, wow, like, these college guys aren't looking at me like I'm a dumb high school kid. They actually really want to help me, and these are, like, really good guys. Like, they're literally, and to this day, like, they're now family. Like, everyone loves to help each other, and I think as a high school kid, I was most nervous because, you know, you're dealing with guys that are like 24, 25, mm-hmm. out of college, just absolutely just big, big dudes like that, absolutely just move weight. And here I am, never picking up a weight in my life, coming into pro ball. So I think that definitely helped my confidence going into pro ball, was actually getting the help from my peers.
Yeah, that's always a big thing, right? I mean, coaches can teach you as much as they want, but sometimes when a peer tries to teach you something, it just it sticks differently, as you've mentioned. Who was the you know, who was maybe the first teammate once you'd made that jump to pro ball, whether in rookie ball or in South Bend, who really kind of helped you in that way, or like kind of took you under their wing? Was it a couple of guys? You know, maybe it wasn't just one specific guy.
It was actually one specific dude, and I still talk to him to this day. Still one of my good friends. He's actually one of our first basemen. His name's Tyler Derna. Okay. Tyler Derna is one of the greatest first basemen I can, like, I'm going to talk him up a little bit, 'cause this kid needs recognition. This dude, he's probably the best defensive first baseman I've ever seen in my life. Like, this dude, there were some throws that I was like, oh God, in center field. And somehow he would just come up with it. I don't think I saw him miss one ball in South Bend unless it was like 20 feet over his head. This dude was literally a vacuum. It was unbelievable. And he can hit, you know, he hit like 300 in South Bend, put a couple out, and he was just all around just one of the best human beings on and off the field.
That's awesome. No, that's super cool. And now, was he a college age guy, or was he closer to you in age?
He's actually a college guy.
Okay.
He came out of college and then was in South Bend this past year and got moved up to Myrtle, rightfully so. One of the most amazing dudes I've ever hung out with.
That's awesome. That's super cool. No, and that's cool to hear too, because, I mean, obviously, you know, everybody's aware of the situation, right? Everybody's competing to make that big league roster at every single level. You know, so the fact that and guys that, you know, played sports, I think, really get it. You know, but those that maybe didn't necessarily play sports growing up or later in life, you know, it's, even though you're all competing for the same thing and for these spots, you know, you still want to help each other, because you are ultimately at the end of the day still teammates. And, you know, some of your best friends in your life end up being guys that you played with and were competing with, because, you know, just like you said, you know, they're willing to take you under their wing and things like that.
Exactly. Like, at the end of the day, it is a job, but at the end of the day, you do, like, you want to see the people you care about most succeed, you know, not, you know, you don't always want them to, you know, beat you out, but, you know, you want them to have success and, you know, seeing them fail. And, you know, I think that was one thing that Tyler saw, was I was upset, 'cause I literally was embarrassed. I was just failing constantly. I think, you know, him doing that, he definitely took a step back and was like, okay, like, even though, you know, we're all fighting for jobs here, I want to help. And that was a big thing.
That's awesome. And like you said, you know, he kind of gets rewarded then too, right? Getting moved up to Myrtle Beach then, and he gets a chance to continue, you know, growing his career as well. And I'm sure you're going to be right there with him in short order. So
Well, yeah, I definitely believe karma is a thing. You know, good things happen to good people, and you know, good karma definitely follows you. It might not happen immediately, might not happen, you know, in a couple of weeks, but it always comes back around, and you know, good people do have good karma, I believe.
Absolutely. I mean, not only are, you know, Cubs fans getting to learn more about you tonight, they're also getting a little life lesson too. That's always good to hear. But no, you're 100% right. I mean, you know, good things do happen to good people if you, you know, like you said, that good karma and kind of good energy. So, you know, speaking of, I guess, good energy, you know, what do you consider yourself a pure center fielder? Obviously, I kind of alluded a little bit to it earlier. Some of the scouting reports, and again, I am a firm believer after coming from playing NAIA level college football that I don't care how big you are or what your physique is. If you can play, you can play. So, you know,
I agree.
Do you consider yourself a pure center fielder? If not, you know, do you consider yourself as just truly a center fielder, or do you think you could play, you know, all outfield spots, maybe even infield if you needed to? I mean, I feel like most athletes can play pretty much anywhere, you know, but kind of where do you see yourself, I guess, from a position standpoint personally?
I can play anywhere in the outfield. I truly believe that. Anywhere they want to put me, I'm perfectly okay with. I do think that I'm the most dangerous, and I can do, you know, help the team the most and cover the most ground in center. Okay. If I had a choice, I'd definitely keep myself in center. I feel like, you know, I can do so many more things as a center fielder than I could as a left fielder or right fielder. But when it comes down to it, this is all a business, and if it gets me to that big league roster, I'll be a left-handed third baseman for all I care. I'll play anywhere they want me to.
No, that's awesome. And you know, you mentioned, you know, you felt like you're most dangerous. One of my fellow colleagues over at OnTap Sportsnet, which is our kind of mother hub that houses the podcast, he mentioned your quote from September when you said that when I'm on the base pass, I'm just as lethal as when I'm at the plate. So I think that's pretty cool to hear you too. Where you're like, well, I'll be honest with you, I'm the most, you know, lethal in center field. Stick me out there. Let me use my speed and stuff like that. So no, that's awesome. But yeah, I mean, I hear you, man. Ultimately, if that's the dream and they're like, hey, we really like you at third, and you're just like, yep, cool, sounds good. Just put me there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, but if I'll be there if you want me to. If you don't want me there, hey, just tell me where to go and I'll go.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Kind of, I guess, you know, another kind of good transition, you know, question wise here. So what, you know, what are some of your goals in terms of advancing through the Cubs organization? Obviously, I feel like, you know, everybody's goal, you're playing baseball for a reason. You want to be in the big leagues. You want to get to that level, you know, but I guess maybe some short term goals, you know, what is kind of your goals in terms of advancing? Is it to maybe hit a certain statistical milestone? Is it to be at a certain level by a certain time? You know, what are your benchmarks like right now? You know, let's say going into 2020 that you're just, okay, this is what I want to accomplish. And if I accomplish it, I feel like I'm doing the right thing to advance through the organization.
I truly think if I can just keep making strides, whether it's, you know, cutting down strikeouts, getting my average higher, you know, hitting for, you know, my on base, everything. If I can keep making myself as a whole better as a baseball player, I think that's a win for me. You know, my coach actually this past year, you know, his name's Paul McNulty. He told us that, you know, everyone wants to hit 300. Who cares if you hit 300? If you can, every at bat you go out there and you do your best, you're not giving pitches away, you're not giving ABs away, the average will come. You know, and that's one thing that I, to this day, one of the things that I definitely will always live by is just every at bat, make it a good at bat, and, you know, everything will show for itself. So I think for this upcoming year, if I could just keep getting better at all facets, you know, in the outfield, my arm, flexibility, hitting, running, everything. If I can just keep making myself better, I think that I'll be, you know, I'll leave it out on the field and I'll be very happy at the end of the year.
No, that's fantastic. And that's good to hear. I mean, I'll tell you what, I think a lot of Cubs fans are excited at, you know, the guys that are down in the minor leagues. I think when it comes to outfield, two guys that everybody really thinks of right now are, you know, you and your form, you know, and your teammate Brendan Davis, is just guys that, you know, can roam the outfield one day at Wrigley. And I'll tell you what, and I'm not going to put you in a bad spot, so you don't have to say anything to this. You could just totally be silent if that's the case. But after the season that the Cubs center fielders had this year, we wouldn't mind seeing you in center field here, hopefully sooner than later. So that would be good stuff there. Kind of one last fun question, and then we have a little bit of a last segment before I'll give you your night back so you can get back to hopefully some good Call of Duty games. You know, how would you say your like social media presence is? Is it, you know, do you like interacting with people? Is it just kind of like the, I don't want to say like the typical teenager, because I still kind of fall into that realm as well at times, where you're like, you just want to kind of look at funny stuff, or, you know, kind of what is your social media presence? Because I feel like that's, you know, nowadays is a good opportunity for people to truly get to know you outside of, you know, things like this or meeting you in person.
I love people. So I love interacting with people. Anyone that messaged me, I always try to respond to every single one of them as quick as I can. But the only problem I have with social media, I can never figure out a caption. I kid you not. I will literally have a post ready, sit there for an hour plus, just be like, wow, I really can't think of a good caption. Because I don't want like a corny caption or something, you know, silly. I'm just like, wow, I really can't think of a caption. So I'll just end up taking it down. But when it comes to, you know, people that like comment and, you know, message me, I love it. I love talking to people, and I love just seeing how people's day is going. I actually talk to a bunch of people almost daily that just, hey man, how you doing? I'm, you know, always responding. Hey, you know, good. How, what are you doing? Just talking to them, just have like a normal conversation that I would with like one of my friends. So I truly love when people comment and message me. I love just to hear about their day and kind of just meet new people. Like it's, I think it's really interesting and a very awesome position. I'm definitely in as a 20-year-old kid to have people all the way across the world, you know, message me and just see how their day's going, see, you know, a little bit about them.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you know what? I mean, that is going to go such a long way for you and in your career, just as somebody, you know, who admittedly, you know, is a fan of the Cubs. And I'm hoping one day that, you know, I'm sitting in the Wrigley Field bleachers in center field and I'm, you know, yelling and screaming, yeah, let's go Cole, woo, you know what I mean? And you know, for people to know that you are, you know, you're a human, you're friendly, you know, you're gonna talk to them. And you know, and I heard something just the other day, and I'm not gonna make this too long, but I was listening to a podcast just the other day, and they were talking about how Paul McCartney would a lot of times say no to pictures because he legitimately just wanted to have a conversation with people, you know, and how that, yeah, you could take a picture and it's cool and you put it up on social media and you get, you know, 100 likes and your friends are all pumped about it or whatever, and then it kind of fades away. But like that experience of talking to an athlete, you know, maybe somebody that looks up to you, you know, in 5 years from now when you're playing for the Cubs, you know, and you have that conversation with them, that's going to go so much farther than that picture they were able to get with you in passing or something like that. So I think that's pretty cool that, you know, you've yeah, you know, I mean, that's you as a person, but you've also kind of just, that's what you enjoy. And that, I think ultimately in the long run, that's going to allow you to make such more of an impact as a player, you know, on your teammates and stuff too as well. You know, you're going to be, you know, a guy that everybody says, hey, he's a great teammate. You know, he's a guy that's going to actually legitimately ask you how you are and be concerned about you and just want to know about you. And that goes such a long way in, you know, in sports and in society. I mean, it's just, it's awesome to hear that. So no, that's super cool. And I think that's a good little plug for, you know, maybe you'll have some more fans reaching out to you. I'm sure I'll reach out to you and say, hey, every once in a while, not to bug.
Absolutely. I'll definitely get a response. I promise.
Perfect. No, that's awesome, man. So yeah, just one last kind of quick, this one's totally fun. This one's not supposed to be any kind of pressure to, you know, quote unquote, answer the right way or anything like that. It's just a little bit of a speed round. You don't have to elaborate on your answers. They can just be one word, you know, two words, maybe three words, whatever. They're just quick shooters. So we'll jump right into that then if you're ready.
Okay, perfect. Let's do it.
Perfect. So what is your favorite sport besides baseball?
Football.
What is your favorite food?
I love Mexican food. Big Mexican food guy.
Ooh, good choice.
As a category.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. That works. Favorite band or artist?
I'm a big YoungBoy NBA guy. I love his work right now.
Okay. Favorite vacation spot?
Hawaii.
Nice. Ketchup on hot dogs, yes or no?
100%.
That's okay. I know you're, I'm sure you're well versed in the whole, the meathead Chicagoans who are like, ketchup doesn't go on hot dogs, but
Yeah, I have seen those. It's crazy. I just don't get it.
That's fair. I'm sure you'll see plenty more of it too as you get closer and closer to the big leagues. Building off of that, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes, I'm gonna say yes on that one.
Okay. What would your
kind of tough one?
You're gonna wrestle with that now the whole day. What would your career choice be if it wasn't for baseball?
That's an excellent question. I truly do not have a backup plan.
I respect that. Hey,
I don't know. I try to be a video game person, I guess. I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
Ninja 2.0.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, man. Well, hey, sometimes not having a backup plan is what's going to, just motivate you to work harder. So we can only, maybe that'll
completely
benefit
agree.
Down the road for you. Who wins the World Series in 2020?
Cubs, because I play for them. Absolutely. Yeah. They're definitely going to take it all. So that's who I would love to win. If, as another standpoint, Dodgers.
Okay. Hey, two very plausible teams, so I love it. That's a good answer. Have you been able to visit Chicago since you were drafted, or even before then?
I went once for the pre-draft workout, and I got to spend some time down there. So, yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so what was your favorite thing to do when you were here, if you really got to do anything at all?
Honestly, I like the sightsee. We went to some underground spots and got some Chicago deep dish pizza.
Mm.
Greatest thing that's ever came to this earth, 100%.
Nice. Yeah, deep dish pizza is certainly a beautiful thing. Well, that's the speed round. That's all I got for you. Like I said, just some fun, light, easy questions at the end, just to get your perspective on some things. Well, Cole, I'll tell you what, man, you were an absolutely awesome interview. Electric, just open, honest. I feel like nowadays it's kind of hard to come across guys that are like that. So greatly appreciate you taking time out of your night to talk to me and ultimately for our listeners. Hopefully we could get you back on sometime if you're interested. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, man. Anytime.
For sure, man. You're the best. Hopefully people reach out to you as he mentioned, ladies and gentlemen. He is very active on social media. He will message you back. You can find him on Twitter at Cole Roeder. Just his name. It's as easy as that. There's no crazy, 123 dollar sign exclamation point or anything like that on his Twitter handle. I'm assuming you're on Instagram as well.
Same thing on Instagram. I try to keep it the same so people can find me.
Perfect. Hey, consistency is always key. Well, Cole, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I greatly appreciate it. I'll let you get back to the rest of your night, man. And thanks again. And hopefully we'll talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
You too, man. Take care. Wow, what an interview. Thank you again so much to Cole Roeder. That was an absolute great time. I honestly have probably not had that much fun on an interview in quite some time, truthfully. It was an absolute pleasure, an absolute honor to get to speak to you, Cole, if you are listening. But to Cole, it was a good time. It was refreshing just hearing him be himself and really tell the fans just who he is and what kind of kid he is. And I say kid, he's not that much younger than me, thankfully. But, I think he's got all the makings of being a great ball player. I really am rooting for him. I hope he does nothing but great things. I hope he becomes a pro. And I think he would instantly become a fan favorite on any professional team just because of the type of person he is. So I hope it's with the Cubs, but in the ultimate long run, I hope it's, I hope it ends. I hope his career ends with him in the big leagues, having a very successful long career. And I think I will be a fan of his no matter where he goes. Like I said, I hope it's with the Cubs. I hope it stays with the Cubs. But obviously, you never know what's going to happen until it happens. So thank you again, Cole, for joining the Northside 9 podcast, me specifically tonight. It was truly a lot of fun. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, I do want to remind you that we are brought to you by the OnTap Sports Network. I gave you all the workings in the beginning, but remember, www.ontapsportsnet.com is where you can find everything that we provide about Chicago sports coverage. And, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, and in only the proper fashion for Northside 9, let's go.